From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's December 22nd, 2025. On today's show, Idaho's Government Efficiency Task Force is recommending the legislature get rid of the state's voter-approved Medicaid expansion. Plus, Washington's governor continues to unveil his spending priorities for the coming legislative session. And the downwinder community of Idaho is now eligible for compensation, about 70 years after fallout from nuclear bomb testing began to spread. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. Idaho's DOGE task force says the state's voter-approved Medicaid expansion program needs to be eliminated. James Dawson has more.
Task Force co-chair Senator Todd Lakey read a letter to the group Friday from a small business owner who offers his workers health coverage. The letter says his employees are routinely asking to work fewer hours to stay eligible for Medicaid instead of paying a, quote, meager $60 every 2 weeks for the company plan. Single people must earn less than roughly $21,000 a year to qualify for Medicaid expansion. Here's Lakey.
That certainly creates some frustration on my part that we have employers with health insurance benefits that are provided, and we have people not taking it so they can remain on Medicaid.
Republican Representative Dustin Manwaring agrees something needs to be done.
Because I don't know if it's an all or nothing. There may be some other things we can do to contain costs without full repeal.
About 81,000 Idahoans are enrolled in Medicaid expansion as of mid-December. State lawmakers and Governor Brad Little would both need to sign off on a repeal plan to take effect. James Dawson, Boise State Public Radio News.
Washington Governor Bob Ferguson wants the state to spend about $2 billion for what he considers to be urgent work on roads and bridges.
The typical life expectancy of a bridge is 80 years. 342 of our bridges are at that age or older.
He says about a quarter of those bridges are considered to be in poor shape and in need of immediate attention.
When a bridge is rated poor, that means the bridge has serious deficiencies such as deterioration, cracking, or even damage to its primary structure. This is totally unacceptable from my standpoint.
Ferguson says the other half of the $2 billion would be spent to pave roads, some next summer, others over the course of the next 10 years. He's also proposed money be spent to improve mountain pass areas that are vulnerable to landslides, like the area of Highway 2 through Stevens Pass that's currently closed for flooding and landslide damage. The governor says the state would borrow the money for the transportation projects. Idaho law enforcement officials say they're worried about how cuts to certain mental health treatment programs will affect their departments. For decades, Idaho used assertive community treatment, or ACT, programs to provide intensive support for people with severe mental health disorders. But statewide Medicaid cuts this month eliminated funding for key elements of ACT and other acute behavioral health programs. Law enforcement officials say that could result in an added burden for them. Here's Orofino Police Chief Vince Frazier.
The bottom line is when it comes to law enforcement, without these necessities, and that means their engagement with us increases. That means we are not doing other things that we should be doing.
A letter sent earlier this month by the Idaho Sheriff's Association predicted the cuts would result in increased call volumes, involuntary holds, incarceration, and court cases. Kootenai County residents filled the overflow room at a community development meeting last week out of concern over changes to urban growth maps. Local officials tried to convince them that the state-mandated changes don't actually signal more development. SPR's Eliza Billingham reports.
The Idaho legislature amended the definition of areas of impact in 2024. AOIs show the boundaries where a city could consider expanding, typically within 20 to 50 years. But the state now requires AOIs to only map possible expansion areas within the next 5 years. Cities in Kootenai County are now finalizing those maps, and some property owners within AOI boundaries are suddenly concerned by the shortened timeline. But Post Falls Deputy City Administrator Warren Wilson stressed that AOIs don't show where cities will expand, since annexation into a city can only happen at the request of a landowner.
What it doesn't do is it doesn't mean properties will be annexed either now or even in the future, because it's, again, it's dependent on the request from the owner and the approval of the city council.
Some residents were satisfied with that answer. Others were still wary of being forced into a city someday soon. I'm Eliza Billingham reporting.
Another $400,000 will soon be available to help those still recovering from the 2023 Gray and Oregon Road fires. Spokane County commissioners announced late last week that the county will provide half of that sum, which will be matched by a contribution from the Inovia Foundation. The money will go to permanent housing reconstruction efforts for wildfire survivors. More information on recovery assistance is at srltg.org. Several Eastern Washington communities are getting federal money to make roads safer for pedestrians, cyclists, and drivers. The Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation will get nearly $400,000 from the U.S. Department of Transportation for projects that include updating traffic safety plans for the reservation and developing plans for ensuring greater accessibility to transportation. The city of Othello in Adams County will receive $120,000 for its Safe Streets plan. The city says it plans to use the money for safety assessments, public outreach, and gathering crash data to guide future improvements. Other Eastern Washington communities getting traffic safety grants include Natchez and Union Gap, with the largest sum going to Walla Walla County Public Works. All of the funding comes from DOT's Safe Streets and Roads for All program. In the mid-20th century, nuclear fallout from bomb testing in Nevada spread across several western states. Roughly 70 years after that spread began, Idaho's self-proclaimed downwinders and their families are eligible for compensation. Northwest Public Broadcasting's Rachel Sun reports.
Tana Henderson grew up in Emmett, Idaho. The small town is situated in one of the top five counties in the country affected by iodine-131 contamination from the Nevada nuclear test site.
My mom had breast cancer. My older brother had three bouts of cancer within an eight-month period.
Henderson first learned about Idaho's exposure to nuclear fallout in 2004. An article in the local newspaper connected her with Sherry Garman. Garman also grew up in Emmett. She was later diagnosed with thyroid cancer.
She had fought it for between 12 and 14 years.
Garman spent her last year fighting for Idaho downwinders to be compensated. She died in 2005.
I promised her I wouldn't give up on it till Idaho was included.
20 years later, it's finally happened. This year's congressional budget includes $100,000 for any person who lived in the state during testing and suffered one of 19 types of cancer. The legislation also includes New Mexico and Utah, as well as some parts of Arizona and Nevada. So far, roughly 400 people have been approved for compensation. I'm Rachel Sun, reporting.
SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by James Dawson, Doug Nadvornik, Rachel Sun, Eliza Billingham, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also the host and producer. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.